attention, please. Suboxone, I want. My name is Future Priest. Yes, I'm Hawkins. I want to serve you forever as a priest starting very soon. It's now time to start finding a seat for Sabbath services.
Shalom, everyone. My name is Preacher Prince Kiefer Hawkins, and I'd like to serve you forever as a priest starting very soon. It's a privilege and honor to present the future priests and priestesses now entering the sanctuary. It's my great honor and privilege to present to you our first speaker, future priest Buffalo Bill.
Shabbat shalom, everyone. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. Today, my title is Remaining Healthy in the Sin-Sick World. When Yahweh created all things, He created some things clean for mankind to eat and some things unclean. Yahweh commanded mankind not to eat those things that He called unclean. Please turn to Deuteronomy 14 on page 159 in verse 2. And we're going to read the laws that Yahweh inspired mankind to keep man healthy. It says in verse 2, "For you are a holy people to Yahweh, your Father. Yahweh has chosen you to be a special, people for Himself, a special treasure over all the peoples who are on the face of the earth. You must not eat any abominable thing. These are the animals you may eat: the ox, the sheep, the goat, the deer, the gazelle, the roe deer, the wild goat, the mountain goat, the antelope, and the mountain sheep. You may eat of every animal that has a split off completely divided and that chews the cud. However, of these that chew the cud are those that have a split off. These you may not eat: the camel, the rabbit, or the coney. Although they chew the cud, they do not have a split off and they are unclean to you. And the swine, the pig, is it unclean to you? It does not chew the although it has a split off, it does not chew the cud. You must not eat their meat nor touch their carcasses." The rest of Deuteronomy 14 tells us how to identify the other creatures that are clean for mankind to eat. Now you may be asking, what makes some animals clean to eat and some animals unclean to eat? Well, the answer is simple. Yahweh made a difference in the digestive system of the clean and unclean. All clean beasts have more than one stomach. The digestive system of all the clean creatures is designed by Yahweh to filter out anything that may be harmful to mankind. The remaining beast, fish, and fowl, and creeping things were never meant to be eaten by mankind. In the Healthy Always Way booklet, it says there has been much deception about these dietary laws Yahweh set in motion. One may hear stupid comments such as, "Those laws were only for the Jews, and Messiah made all meat clean to eat. I have a cast iron stomach. I can eat anything as long as I give thanks for it before I eat of it." Those who make those comments are deceived. So how did the whole world become deceived about such loving, health-giving, common-sense law like we just read? Well, the answer, again, is simple. Through teaching. From the very beginning, Satan and her teachers have spoken against Yahweh's law. Their motto is, as Yahweh indeed said, "Yeshua spoke to these lying teachers in Yochanan 8:44. As a result of Satan and her teachings, the world is falling after the Catholic priest Huit Schweinsbach and celebrate days like Halloween as Isaiah 65 verse 4 and Isaiah 66:17 shows us. Now remember, in Matthew 24:37, Yeshua told us that the last days would be as the days of Noah. Well, it turns out in the days of Noah, Yahweh commanded him concerning the clean and the unclean. In Genesis 7, Yahweh told Noah to take 7 male and female clean animals and 2 male and female unclean animals. Let's read verse 1 on page 5. It says, "Now Yahweh said to Noah, 'Come into the ark, you and all your household, for I have seen you as a righteous generation.'" No. "I've seen you righteous before me in this generation. Shall take 7 pairs of every clean animal, male and female, and 2 of every unclean, a male and his female." But just like the days of Noah, there is only one righteous teacher who teaches us the difference between clean and unclean, as Yahweh commanded in Leviticus 11:47. Notice the words of our beloved teacher, Yehoshua Hawkins, in the 12th book of Yehoshua, part 2, chapter 19, verses 39 through 40. It says, "The worship of the dead on Halloween, following the priest who eats swine's flesh, is pretty plain. How could they read their Bible and say, 'Well, I'm not going to follow those priests who eat swine's flesh'? You know they are. The whole Christian thing is following the priest who eats swine's flesh. Swine's flesh weakens the mind. You can do work, as the toxicologist report. You can do work, but you can't think clearly. Now, that's what it does to your mind. There are articles galore on this right now because they heard the ASCII saying that swine is unhealthy and it weakens the body. It causes confusion. These are the things they teach. Well, praise God for our beloved pastor who has taught us how to remain healthy in the sin-sick world. His Dylan Cooley taught us the difference between clean and unclean, holy and profane, and about the supplements, and about cleansing ourselves from filth of the world. In conclusion, I'd like to say, come out and stay out of the world of sin. Touching off the unclean and stay out. And sin never again, so that we can be sons and daughters of Yahweh. With that, I'll turn it over to Future Priest Nabai for closing prayer.
Great Deacon Israel Abil.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. The title of my sermon today is "The Teaching and Keeping of Yahweh's Laws Brings Peace and Health, and the Breaking of Yahweh's Laws Brings Disease, Sickness, and Plagues." Now, if you'll all turn over to Deuteronomy 28 and let's start off with verse 15. And it says, "However, if you do not obey Yahweh your Father and do not carefully follow all his laws and his statutes, which I command you this day, and all these curses will come upon you and accompany you." Let's go down to verse 18. It says, "Cursed will be the fruit of your body, the produce of your land, the calves of your herds, and the lambs of your flocks." Let's go over to verse 21. And it says, "Yahweh will make, or he will allow these things, these plagues, to cling to you until you are destroyed from the land that you are entering to possess." And let's go down to verse 66. And it says, "Your life will hang like a weak thread in front of you, and you shall fear day and night that every moment may be your last." And you know, we can basically see all these things taking place in the world today. Their children are cursed, the diseases and plagues and the fear that people have for their life. All these things are brought about from the breaking of Yahweh's laws. In the 2014 Prophetic Word magazine, Drought, It's Getting Attention, What's the Real Cause? On page 19, it talks about just a few of the curses, diseases, and viruses that are out in the world. Page 19, it says, Mysterious new interspecies disease hits dog kennels. Startling reports of a new deadly virus infecting dogs have arisen in the media in the past month. It's said to be highly contagious for dogs and can kill them in just a few days. No one even knows entirely what it is yet. The next article here, it says, a new virus is attacking North America's wild turkey populations. Then on to page 20, it says, NBC News. Grizzly disease decimating starfish populations from Orange County to Alaska. Scientists alarms as they began eating each other, then melting away. Similar problem on East Coast observed since 2011, now spreading at scary rate. And Pastor goes on to say here, under the heading Yahweh's Prophets, he says, Yahweh's prophets who successfully foretold all of these events for this generation only should be given credit. As for the cause, it is shown to be the breaking of the regulatory laws that govern the actions of mankind. When these laws are broken by mankind, the result is the springing forth of destructive microorganisms that are as deadly and disruptive as a nuclear bomb. These destructive microorganisms today are called everything from sickness and disease to unnatural weather patterns. And then on the next page it says the root cause is described as sin. So the root cause of all these things is described as sin. And in the July 2013 prophetic word, on page 9, it has some other things that the world is suffering from. It says, study finds 1 in 4 U.S. teens has an STD. And then the next article, childhood cancer statistics. Cancer is the number one disease killing children from age 6 months to young adulthood. Each year, more than 160,000 children are diagnosed with cancer worldwide, and about 90,000 of these children succumb to the disease. March of Dimes Global Report on Birth Defects. It says birth defects affect 23 million babies worldwide. 4 million die. It says at least 3.3 million children less than 5 years of age die annually because of serious birth defects. And the majority of those who survive may be mentally and physically disabled for life. And get that, as young as 5 years of age, and also it said earlier, 6 months. And then on the next page, page 10, it says, the great prophet Isaiah shows in no uncertain terms the cause of today's curses. But notice first, Deuteronomy 28, verses 15 through 18. And we read that, and he goes on to say, the fruit of your body is your children. Then on the next page it says, the cause. So what did you do to cause the curses that we see in this generation? Isaiah 24, 1 through 6. It says, verse 1, before Yahweh's very eyes, the earth is made empty and it is made waste. The face of it is perverted and its inhabitants scattered abroad. And it will be as with the people, so with the priest, as with the servant, so with his owner, as with the maid, so with her mistress, as with the buyer, so with the seller, as with the lender, so with the borrower, as with him who takes usury, so with him who gives usury to him. And verse 4, it says, the earth mourns and fades away, the world mourns and fades away, and the haughty people of the earth languish. The earth also is defiled under the inhabitants of it, because they have transgressed the laws, changed the ordinance, and broken the everlasting covenant. So all these things come about from the breaking of Yahweh's laws. In the July 2013 newsletter, on page 2, here's some more things that come about due to the breaking of Yahweh's laws. More U.S. babies die on their first day than in 68 other countries, report shows. Iraqi birth defects worse than Hiroshima. New report says 1 out of 5 children has a mental disorder. These are just headlines. The nearly unstoppable superbugs. The next contagion closer than you think. hospital superbugs kill 48,000 patients a year. Superbugs are a costly war we can't win. And the last one here, an incurable disease threatens to destroy the nation's orange industry. So all these things are due to the breaking of Yahweh's laws. And also in the November 2013 newsletter on page 8, Pastor says here, under the heading of prophecy, he says, the same wisdom that foretold the details of the nuclear bomb being invented and tells us the generation in which it will be used shows us also the cause of sickness, disease, confusion, hatred, and war. Look at the morals across America today, or rather the lack of morals. Compare the sickness in every family. Compare the sickness in every family. Your children are born with hidden death. These STDs are known to cause a variety of cancers. STDs are the main cause for hundreds of millions of organ diseases throughout the whole body, from the head and the toes, in women, men, and children, even newborn children. STDs are the main cause of birth defects in children. Thousands of children die at birth. What is the difference in shooting someone with a bullet and shooting them with AIDS? They both bring crippling and death. When someone is shot from a drone, is that less of a murder than shooting him with a pistol, a rifle, or an STD? So get that there. All these things that I just read about, the STDs, cancers, and these things are brought about by one thing, and that is the breaking of Yahweh's laws. STDs, sickness, and disease of all kinds, confusion, hatred, school shootings, assaults, rape, violence, fighting, war, and global warming are all caused by, now get this, the same thing. So all these problems could be solved by the same principles. And Yishol Hawkins has been reminding the world and us that this is the reason that these plagues are coming. It's the breaking of Yahweh's laws. Now let's look at what the keeping of Yahweh's laws brings. If you'll turn over to Deuteronomy 28, wow. Keep that number in mind. You know, that's one of the numbers on the stone. Wow. Well, let's look at verse 1 here. Deuteronomy 28, verse 1. It says, and it will be, if you will listen diligently to the voice of Yahweh your Father. This is found on page 169. It says, and it will be if you will listen diligently to the voice of Yahweh your Father by observing and doing all his laws which I command you this day, that Yahweh your Father will set you high above all the nations on earth as his kings and priests. And all these things will come upon you and accompany you because you obey Yahweh your Father. Blessed will you be in the city, and blessed will you be in the country. Blessed will be the fruit of your body, the produce of your land, and the young of your livestock, the calves of your herds, and the lambs of your flocks. Go down to verse 9. And it says, Yahweh will establish you as his holy people unto himself, as he promised you on oath, if you will keep the laws of Yahweh your Father and walk in all his ways. Then all the people on the earth will see that you are called by the name of Yahweh, and they will fear you. Yahweh will grant you plenteous possessions in the fruit of your body, in the increase of your livestock, and in the produce of your ground, in the land Yahweh vowed on oath to your forefathers to give you. Let's go down to verse 14. For if you diligently observe and do all of Yahweh's law, then you will not turn aside from any of these laws which I command you this day, to the right hand nor to the left, by going after any god else to serve him. So remember, blessings come from the keeping of Yahweh's laws. So when we keep Yahweh's laws, we get blessed, we're protected, you'll be healthy. This is what you get when you keep the laws, right here. Clean, healthy food. You don't have to worry about trichinosis and the hamburgers and things like that. Praise Yahweh. If you'll all please stand. It's my great honor and privilege to turn it over to the great Kahan David Hyreman Hawkins.
Good The peace and blessings of our Heavenly Father Yahweh be with each and every one of you. It's an honor to address the called out ones of Yahweh this morning. You may be seated. The title of the sermon today is, "And I Will Give Him the Morning Star, Pastor's Dream About the White Stone, the Judgment of Acquittal." I'd like to continue where the great Kahn Benjamin Krauss left off last week. And I'd like to begin, first of all, Yahweh gave us his last day's witness, the great Kahn Yisrael Abel Hawkins. He gave him a dream, and in the dream the witness saw a white stone with three numbers. First of all, I'd like to show you the first slide here so that we can all see Pastor's beautiful face here. Now, this is Yahweh's last day's witness, the great Kahn Yisrael Abel Hawkins, and his brother up in the right-hand corner there, the witness Jacob. And this is from the Prophetic Word magazine in 2011. This was actually the second Roman month of 2011. This magazine came out, and that was actually the year that we began seeing the signs in the clouds and in the heavens. And the witness, Yisrael Abel Hawkins, had a dream. But before we get to that, I'd like you to turn to Revelations chapter 1 and look at verse 5. You know, this sermon is about Pastor's dream and the numbers he saw on the white stone. The dream is about our high priest, Yahshua, the first of the sons of man, perfected by obedience to Yahweh's laws. Pastor's dream is about the sons of man who will overcome sin and become a kingdom of priests. In Revelation verse 1, or chapter 1, if you look at verse 5, "And from Yahshua Messiah, the faithful witness, and the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the future kings of the earth, to him who loved us and freed us from our sins by his own blood, and has made us a kingdom of priests," this is a prophecy here, "to Yahweh our Father, to whom belongs the glory and power forever and ever. Hallelujah, Yahweh." Also like to you to turn to Exodus chapter 19 and look at verse 5. Yahweh told his servant Moshe what to say to the children of Israel regarding obeying Yahweh's laws. Yahweh revealed to Moshe the end result of obeying the voice of Yahweh. Exodus chapter 19 and verse 5. "Now therefore, if you will truly obey my voice by keeping my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure to me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the laws that you shall speak to the children of Israel." And Yahweh gave Israel and the children of Israel, and he's given us in these last days through the witness Yisrael Abel Hawkins, his 613 laws of peace. I'd like to go to the reference now in the 10th book of Israel, where Pastor talked about the white stone for the first time. So if we could have the next slide, please. Okay, this is, if you can see that, this is from the 10th book of Israel, part 2, page 133, verse 35. And I'd like to read it, and if you could follow along. "But you're given the authority," and that's one of the keys in what the information I'd like to bring forth today. "You're given the authority," or the badge, "showing," or the white stone, as it would, "the acquittal," showing you're innocent. So the white stone, the acquittal, showing you're innocent. You can be trusted with people's possessions. You're given the authority, and there's that word authority again. I want you to keep that in your mind throughout this information, throughout this sermon. You're given the authority by Yahweh to become a teacher of some kind or a guider of some kind, as Yahshua was given 12 disciples to teach the laws, and he lost but one, he said, and that was the son that was prophesied to be lost. The one that was prophesied to be lost is the one he lost. The others had jobs, there's the word jobs, work, building up the house of Yahweh, they had to do, and that one had to be replaced in order to do that job in bringing forth the second part of the book of Yahweh for us today. And all of that was prophesied. Prophecies about each one of these and what they would do. Okay, now there was a second reference in the book of Israel to Pastor's dream. And it's in the 12th book of Israel. The overseer, Yisrael Hawkins, gives the account of the dream that Yahweh gave him regarding the white stone. So if we could have the next slide, please. If you follow along, it says, the white stone, 12th book of Israel, verse 59, the next day was the 28th. And what day do we have today? We have 2/28, the second Roman month, the 28th day. The next day was the 28th. Now, that wouldn't mean anything to me at all, but if you remember, I saw a white stone. And I told everyone about this. I would that I had the date of when I told everyone, but I hope you remember it. And the white stone had three numbers, and one of them was 28. One of these was 28. So it was, and here are the numbers, 17, 28, and 74. I think I was 74 at the time when the stone was shown to me, and it came into my mind or was placed in my mind, this is your lot. Okay? So the first number that Pastor saw on the stone was 17. Revelation 2, verse 17, and Great Con Benjamin brought this out last week, Revelation 2, 17, is the scripture where Yahshua himself is telling the called out ones about the white stone and the promises that accompany the receipt of the white stone. So if we could have slide number 4. This is Revelation 2, verse 17, and 17 is the first number that we're going to study here today. And so Revelation 2, verse 17, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit, and this is Yahweh's Spirit, which is holy, guiding his house, guiding his plan, building his house, says to the called out ones of the house of Yahweh, to him who overcomes. And this is a very important word, overcomes. I will give to eat of the hidden manna, and I will give him a white stone, which signifies a sentence of acquittal. And in the stone, a restored name or a new name, the King James Version says new name, Book of Yahweh, the restored name, both of them are very close, very similar. A restored name, Yahweh, written, which no one acknowledges except he who understands. So we're going to study a little more about what this restored name means, new name means. And so, the word spirit is we can turn to Yochanan 6, verse 63, Yochanan 6, verse 63, where we read, it is the spirit that gives life, the flesh is useless, and the laws that I speak to you, they are spirit, and they are life everlasting. So it's the laws of Yahweh in overcoming sin, becoming perfect as Yahshua was perfect, never sinned, and we have that opportunity to become just like our priest Yahshua in overcoming sin. There is a footnote in the book of Yahweh regarding Revelation 2, verse 17. So if we can see the next slide, I'd like to show you that the footnote from verse 217, it's footnote 2a, and it says, the white stone was an indicator in the days of the prophets, Messiah, and apostles that one who had been brought forth for judgment had been sentenced to be acquitted. In other words, innocent, acquitted of the accusations brought against him. In like fashion, the white stone represents Yahweh giving the sentence of acquittal to all those who overcome sin. And this is a reference from Thayer's Greek Lexicon, page 676. So that is the significance of the white stone. It represents a sentence of acquittal. And it will be given to one who has overcome sin. In In Revelation 2:17, Yahweh inspired Yeshua to list the criteria by which the called out ones will be judged if they qualify to receive the white stone. To him or her who overcomes sin, these are the ones who will be given the white stone, symbolizing the judgment of acquittal. At Passover 2014, the theme of the feast was sin never again. When Yahshua returns, he will appear, as it says, the scriptures say, apart or separate from sin. He's not going to recognize those who are living in sin, what is what it means. If you turn to Hebrews 9 and verse 27, Hebrews 9 and verse 27, and while you're turning to Hebrews 9 verse 27, I'd like to read 1 Jochanan 3:4, which states, "He who commits sin transgresses also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law." So in Hebrews 9 now, in verse 27, we'll read 27 and 28, "And it is appointed for men once to die, but after this the judgment. So also the Messiah was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto those who look for him, he will appear the second time, and notice, apart from sin, unto salvation." So the now continuing with the words in Revelation 2 verse 17, it also talks about eating of the hidden manna. Eating of the hidden manna. The word hidden means concealed, and the word manna, if this just a straight definition, means an edible food or an edible gum material. In other words, it was the bread that Yahweh gave the children of Israel to eat. It was literal food. But the Revelation 2:17 talks about the hidden manna. So he or she who overcomes sin will also be allowed to eat of the hidden manna. And Yahshua fully explained what the hidden manna was in the book of Yochanan, chapter 6. So if you turn to chapter 6 in Yochanan, Yochanan chapter 6, Yochanan chapter 6, I'd like to begin reading in verse 31. It says, "Our fathers ate manna in the desert. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Then Yahshua said to the, I believe he was talking to the Pharisees here. He said, "Then Yahshua said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, Moshe did not give you the bread from heaven, for my Father gives you the true bread from heaven." So he's talking here, he's beginning to talk here about the hidden manna. Verse 33, "For the bread of Yahweh is he was speaking of himself, who came down out of Yahweh," in other words, according to his plan. He was born a son of man, just like we. He came down out of Yahweh's plan, just as we're prophesied to be called out in these last days. And those who are listening to this message, the broadcast from the house of Yahweh today, are called out to hear the Yisrael Hawkins' words in these last days. "He who came down out of Yahweh and gives life to the world." So the word "he" is referring to Yahshua. Yahshua is the hidden manna. Our Heavenly Father Yahweh planned from the beginning to bring forth a Son of Man who would choose to never sin. In Yochanan 6:34, "Then they said to him, Teacher, give us this bread always." Maybe he was speaking to his disciples here, if they call him teacher. But in verse 35, "Then Yahshua said to them, I am the bread of life." Okay? "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me," in other words, follows the law as I follow the law perfectly, "will never hunger. And he who believes in me will never thirst." Verse 38, "For by no means have I come from outside Yahweh's authority." And there's that word authority, and we're studying about the word authority. "I have For by no means have I come from outside Yahweh's authority to do my own will, but rather to do the will of the one who sent me. And this is the Father's will who has sent me, of all whom he has given me, that not one should be utterly destroyed. No, Yahweh wants all of us to be in his kingdom. He called us for a purpose. He knows we can keep his laws, and he's working with each and every one of us. But that all should stand in judgment, and there is a judgment, at the last day. For this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who continues looking upon the Son and believes in him, in other words, follows his example, will have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day, which means the white stone, the sentence of acquittal. No man can come to me unless the Father who has sent me draws him, and I will establish him as a priest. We talked about Yahweh's prophecies about establishing a priesthood. So Yahshua says, I will establish him as a priest at the last day. So just a couple more verses here. In verse 47, truly, truly, Yahshua said, I say to you, he who believes and has everlasting life, he who believes has everlasting life. I am the bread of life. There's that hidden manna. Your fathers ate manna in the wilderness, but are now dead. This is the bread coming out from Yahweh, in order that man might eat of it and might not die. Verse 51, I am the living bread out of Yahweh who came down. If any man eats of this bread, he will live forever. And that bread, and the bread that I will give, is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. And Yahshua made the atonement. He qualified to be the perfect sacrifice. He made the atonement that our sins can be forgiven and we may have life, eternal life. Because of this, the Adayim quarreled among themselves. I'm going to skip on down to verse 57 and 58 to conclude this chapter here. Just as the living Father has sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who eats me will live because of me. Verse 58, this is the bread, this is the hidden manna, that came out of Yahweh, that came down not like your fathers who ate manna but died. He who eats of this bread will live forever. So, you know, that is an important part of this Revelation 2:17, he who eats of the hidden manna. I'd like to go on to the next slide now. I have a question. Who has the authority to give each individual called out one of the house of Yahweh the white stone, which is the judgment of acquittal? Who is worthy to judge the matter? The answer to this question is the second number that Pastor Hawkins saw in his dream about the white stone. If you turn to Revelation 2, verse 28, and this is the verse here, and I will give him the morning star. And I will give him the morning star. Who is the morning star? Who is the morning star? Yeshua himself answered this question. If you turn to Revelation 22, verse 16, if you're all there, Yeshua speaking here, he said, have sent my Malak, and in each of the seven eras of the house of Yahweh, there was a Malak over the house of Yahweh. In this last era, Yahweh's Malak, Yisrael Abel Hawkins. So I, Yahshua, have sent my Malak, Yisrael Abel Hawkins, to testify to you these things in the congregations of the house of Yahweh. And Yahshua continues here. He says, I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. Yahshua is the bright and morning star. The second number today is the 28th of February of the Roman month, the second Roman month, and it is the second number, 28, on on the stone. As noted, Pastor said, I saw the white stone and I saw three numbers on it, 17, 28, and 74. Okay, for this congregation of the house of Yahweh, Yahweh's Malach in his last days, his last day's witness, Yisrael Abel Hawkins. Following up on the judgment, I'd like you to look at, I'd like to turn to slide number seven, the next slide here. Okay, I listed these four scriptures here rather than have you turn to them, because they all talk about Yahshua, the righteous judge. The first one, 2 Timothy 4, verse 8, from here on there is stored up for me a crown of righteousness, which Yahshua, the righteous judge, will give me at that day, and not to me only, but also to all those who love his appearing. And the second scripture there, 1 Corinthians 4, 5, therefore, judge nothing before the time. Wait until Yahshua comes, who will bring to light the hidden things in darkness, the things hidden in darkness, and will reveal the secret intentions of man's hearts. And then each man will receive praise from Yahweh. And prayfully for each and every one of us, a sentence of acquittal. Let's look at Yochanan 5, verse 22. Yochanan 5, verse 22, for the Father does not judge any man, but has committed all judgment to the Son. And verse 30, I, Yahshua, can of my own do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who has sent me. And Pastor Hawkins is teaching us the will of the Father. He is the Yahweh's mighty Malach sent in these last days to teach us Yahweh's laws and his prophecies. And let's look at the last verse there, Revelation 20, verse 12. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before Yahweh, and the books were open, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which are written in the books according to their works. So, you know, let's go on to the, it says, those who receive the white stone will also receive a new or restored name, which no one acknowledges except he who understands. I'd like to look at the next slide. Here are the definitions of the King James words here, or the words, the Greek words. And the first one there is the word translated new in the King James Version, restored in the Book of Yahweh. They both mean essentially the same. It's freshness. But the critical one here, the important one, is the name. The name. If you look at that Greek word 3688, and you see what I've got highlighted there, it's authority, character. You know, given a new name. Those who overcome sin, receive the sentence of acquittal, will receive authority from Yahweh. Remember in Pastor's vision, he said he'll have authority to be a teacher, a guider, a person who can teach and guide others in Yahweh's righteous way. Well, that's what that name is signifying. Authority, character, you know, the righteous character of Yahweh. And so the restored name is describing the position and authority of those who receive the white stone. This is a description of a job, a position, an office that a called out one who overcomes will receive in the kingdom of Yahweh. So, I mean, you can go back to what Pastor wrote in the 10th book of Ezra. He uses the word authority twice. You're going to be given authority. Those who overcome sin are going to be given authority. So, okay. So this brings us to the third and final number that Pastor Hawkins saw in his dream. If we continue to count, we started with 217, and we counted up to 228, We continue to count the verses in the book of Revelation, beginning with Revelation 2:17, 2:18, 2:19, up to 2:28, which we have today, 2:29, and then we switch to chapter 3, 3:1, 3:2, and we go all the way up to the 74th number, beginning with 17. We come to Revelation 5, verse 12. Revelation 5, verse 12. So if we could have the next slide. The next slide, this shows the counting. This shows the counting, if hopefully you can read that. The left-hand column, the first number in the left-hand column is Revelation 2:17, the number 17. And then you see highlighted Revelation 2:28. So the column just to the right of the Revelation column shows the numbers, 17, 18, on down to 45 there, and then over the next column, down to 74, the last one listed there. And it, counting the verses in the book of Revelation, starting with 2:17, we end up with, on number 74, Revelation 5, verse 12. Okay, so I'd like you to turn to Revelation 5, Revelation chapter 5. I'd like you to turn to Revelation chapter 5. And I'm not going to read all of it, but I'd like to start reading in verse 5. Revelation 5 and verse 5. But one of the elders said to me, "Do not weep. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has overcome." You know, I think it's significant that word overcome is used there. "To open the scroll and release the seven seals." Verse 6, "And I looked, and behold, in the midst of the throne and the four living creatures, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb." Now this is our high priest Yeshua, the morning star, the high priest over the house of Yahweh, the Son of Man. "As though it had been slain, having," notice, this is an indication of his authority, "complete power, complete knowledge and understanding, which signify and represent the complete plan of Yahweh sent forth into all the earth." Verse 9, let's go to verse 9. And they sang a new song, saying, "You are worthy to take the scroll and open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to Yahweh by your blood out of every tribe, language, people, and nation, and have made us a kingdom, and have made us kings and priests to those who will receive the white stone, the judgment of acquittal, have made us kings and priests to our Father, and we will reign upon the earth. And I looked, and I heard the voices of many malachim surrounding the throne," "And the creatures and the elders and the number of them were 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands." And now notice Revelation 5, verse 12. "Saying with a loud voice," and as you read these words, this is the authority that will be given to the called out ones in this kingdom of priests. This is what the Lamb is worthy to receive, and we're in the process of qualifying to receive. "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory." And if Yahweh left anything out in those six words, blessings. Anything else we're gonna need? Blessings. And so Yeshua, the morning star, the Lamb, the high priest of the house of Yahweh, the Son of Man who learned obedience from the things he suffered, he is worthy to receive power, riches, wisdom, strength, honor, glory, and blessings. This is this restored name. The new name, the restored name, is being given power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor, glory, and blessings. The restored name is being capable of having this authority without hurting anyone. And that's part of what Pastor said in his dream. He said, doing these things without hurting anyone else or their possessions. You know, this is part of it. Receiving these things which can't be purchased with money. They can't be purchased with money. These things can't be purchased. They're not for sale. But we can qualify by keeping Yahweh's laws. These characteristics will be used by those who receive the white stone, the judgment of acquittal, for totally righteous purposes, just as our Heavenly Father Yahweh is a totally righteous being. Only the called out ones who receive the white stone will understand what it means to have these character traits and this authority to rule righteously. This is the restored, the new name that is written, which no one acknowledges except he who understands. Those who receive the white stone will understand. The Gentiles will not understand. There's a prophecy regarding that. If you turn to Isaiah 62 and verse 1, Isaiah 62 verse 1, it says, "For Zion's sake I will not hold my peace, and for Jerusalem's sake I will not rest, until her righteousness goes forth as brightness and her salvation like the burning lamp." That's the completion of Yahweh's plan. And we're part of that completion. And it's almost complete. Verse 2, "The Gentiles will see your righteousness and all kings your glory. You will be called by a new name, which the mouth of Yahweh will name." And verse 4, "You will no longer be termed forsaken, nor will your land be any more termed desolate. And for Yahweh delights in you." And that's part of that word there. And notice verse 11 of this prophecy. "Behold, Yahweh has proclaimed to the ends of the world, saying to the daughter of Zion, behold, your salvation comes." When you see the word salvation in book one, it means Yahshua. And notice, his reward is with him. These blessings in Revelation 5:12, that the Lamb is worthy to receive, the sentence of acquittal will allow us to have those same blessings. His reward is with him and his work before him. So I'd like you to, let's see, that word, my delight, in this prophecy here, it says, my delight, that's Yahweh delights in you. And it's a the Hebrew word means a valuable thing. We've heard about one of the viewers of the prophetic word program or the broadcast in England. He said, "Yisrael Hawkins delights our screens." This is a fulfillment of this prophecy. "Yisrael Hawkins delights our screens," he said. This is, and so you see how Yahweh's plan is being fulfilled. In Genesis 1 verse 28, I'll just read it. You're all familiar with it, but I'd like to read it. "Then Yahweh said, I will make man in my image, according to my likeness. They will have rulership over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth." And this is the authority that Yeshua has qualified for, and we're in the process of qualifying for. I'd like to, the white stone, if we go back to what he wrote, he said, this was from the 12th book of Israel, he said the next day was 28, Now, that wouldn't mean anything to me at all, but if you remember, I saw the white stone, and I told everybody about this, and I had a date of which I told everyone, but I hope you remember it. And the white stone had three numbers, and that's the three numbers we're studying here this morning. And one of them was 28, and one was 28, and it was 17, 28, and 74. And I think I was 74 at the time when the stone was shown to me, and it came into my mind, or it was placed in my mind, this is your lot. So now, if you would show the next slide, these are the numbers, just the Hebrew definitions of these numbers. The first one is 17, Hebrew word 17, and it means in a sense of desiring. You know, we're all desiring to be part of Yahweh's kingdom. We're all desiring to overcome sin. And that's what this word means to me, the number 17. One of the things it means, in the sense of desiring or wanting to become part of Yahweh's great kingdom. And look at look at the Hebrew word 28. The Father of knowledge, Yahweh, the Father of knowledge, Yeshua, the Father of knowledge in his age, Yisrael Hawkins, the Father of knowledge in this time period. And if you look at the number 74, the Father of light. And we know that light is Yahweh's laws. So Yahweh, the Father of light, Yeshua, the Father of light in the first era of the house of Yahweh, and Yisrael Hawkins, the Father of light in this time period, bringing forth the laws of Yahweh to the nations. And if you look at the last definition here, the word stone, it's a pebble, as worn smooth by handling. And to me, this indicates the trials and tests that Yahweh told us we would go through. It's a stone worn smooth by handling, by trying and testing. That is, by implication, the use as a counter or a ballot, a verdict of acquittal, a ticket into Yahweh's kingdom. When a newcomer comes to the house of Yahweh, they go through baptism counseling, they request baptism, they go through counseling, they receive a ticket. Don't lose this ticket. They're going to ask you for it. You need to have it, or you won't be baptized today. So this pebble represents, this stone of acquittal represents a ticket into Yahweh's kingdom for those who overcome. It's a vote of confidence by our high priest Yahshua that this one has qualified. I'd like you to, the white stone is a lot reserved and waiting for Yahweh's last day's witness, Yisrael Abel Hawkins. Remember, in his dream, he said, "This is my lot." We, the seed of the witness, the called out ones of the house of Yahweh, can also receive a white stone if we overcome sin and eat of the hidden manna, our high priest Yahshua. And I'd like you to go to Psalm 17, verse 1. Turn to Psalm 17, verse 1. I'd like to read verse 1, 7, 9, and 15 in Psalm 17. "Hear the righteous, O Yahweh, attend to our cry. Our prayers come not from lying lips. Let your sentence of acquittal, let your sentence of acquittal come from your presence, Yahweh. May your eyes see our righteousness." And if you look at verse 7, "Show us your marvelous loving kindness, you, Yahweh, who saves us by your right hand." Who sits at the right hand of Yahweh? Yahshua, the morning star, the great high priest of the house of Yahweh. "You do save those who put your trust in you, Yahweh, from foes who would rise up against us. Hide us under the shadow of your great wings. Keep us as the apple of your eye." And look at verse 15. "But as for us, we will behold your face in righteousness, and we will be satisfied, Yahweh, when we awake, Yahweh, with your likeness, Yahweh, we shall behold you face to face." And overcoming, receiving the sentence of acquittal, is coming into the likeness, the image of our Heavenly Father, Yahweh. We saw in this. I'd like to show the last slide here this morning. the last slide. I'd like to read these verses together. I'd like you to read these three verses in their entire context. Revelation 2, verse 17, "He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the called out ones of the house of Yahweh. To him who overcomes, I will give to eat of the hidden manna, and I will give him a white stone," which is a sentence of acquittal, "and in the stone a restored name, Yahweh, written, which no one acknowledges except he who understands," except he who has understanding of Yahweh's plan and Yahweh's laws and Yahweh's prophecies and Yahweh's witness in these last days. And then look at verse Revelation 2:28, and today is the 28th day of the second Roman month, "and I will give him the morning star," our high priest Yahshua, who has qualified. And the 74th number there, Revelation 5:12, "saying with a loud voice," and this is a description of the authority of those who will enter into Yahweh's kingdom, because this is the authority that awaits Yahshua, and he's qualified for this, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessings." That is a description of the authority. So if now the stone, to finish up here this morning, the word stone, you know, worn, the pebble, worn smooth by handling, worn smooth by the trials and tests that we go through, and the overcoming that we're striving to overcome sin completely. If you would turn for the last scripture this morning to 1 Kefa 4, verses 12 and 13. 1 Kefa 4, verses 12 and 13. 1 Kefa 4, verses 12 and 13. "Beloved, do not be amazed concerning the fiery trial which you must undergo in order to be tested, as though some alien thing were befalling you. But rejoice in the fact that you are partakers in the Messiah's suffering, that when his glory is revealed," in these scriptures that we just read, Revelation 5, verse 12, for example, "when his glory is revealed, that you may also be glad with exceeding joy." So may Yahweh bless your understanding of Yahweh's great plan, his great house, his great witness, his great morning star, our high priest Yahshua. If you'd all please stand. It's my honor and privilege to introduce to you the great Kohan, Benjamin Krause Hawkins.
Shabbat shalom, great saints of Yahweh. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. You may be seated. I'll say it again. I hope you're not disappointed. I am Israel Hawkins. So get over it. No, Pastor really wanted you to get this information this morning, and I'm thinking that you're... Over the last few weeks, it's been quite a ride. Yahweh's really, really just been pouring on the inspiration in this time period. And the last few weeks, it might have been the potatoes, but this is going to be the meat and the gravy all in one dish. I promise you. Now, let me ask you a question. Do you all have your pencils and paper? Great, because you're going to need them again. But I'm going to try and go as, I'm going to try to slow down a little bit for you, and we're going to try and take a little more time with the slides and leave them up a little longer so you can study them. You really need to. Now, continuing to build on what the foundations we've already laid and what the great Kohan David Heimerman Hawkins just spoke on, I want to back up a little bit on this number 17 and just kind of do a review. Remember last week, This the kind of the catalyst for this thing was the plume on Mars, okay? And we showed you the picture. That was seen on 217. And I went over the number 17 and the meanings of 17. Remember, 7 is the number of perfection. 10 is the number of ordinal perfection. So perfection and ordinal perfection is 17. And then victory and conquer and overcoming. Now, just to kind of give you another example, if you'd all turn to Exodus chapter... Actually, before I go there, go to Revelation 10, verse 7. Revelation 10, verse 7, which adds up to what? 17, okay? Let's kind of set the stage for today. Now I have my glasses, but I can't read through all my notes in Revelation 10, but I'll give it a try. Here it is. All right, Revelation 10, verse 7, found on page 977, says, "But in the days of the voice of the seventh Moloch, when he will begin to sound, the great secret of Yahweh would be finished, as he declared to his servants the prophets." Today is 228, right? Okay, well, let's not leave Daniel out of this. Daniel was also... If you can't understand Revelation without Daniel and vice versa. So let's go over to Daniel chapter 2. Remember, the great secrets are only revealed here at Yahweh's house in these last days, only to the called out ones. Remember what Yahshua said. It's not for those outside. It's for those here. That was in Matthew 13, talking about the parables. Daniel chapter 2. First, let's look at verse 22, where he says, this is when he was talking about the king's dream. He says, "You reveal the deep and secret things. You know what is in the darkness, and the light dwells with you." Speaking of Yahweh. I looked up 222. I'm not going to show you. You can look for yourself. But 222 is actually 217. It's the same word, and it means revelation and truth. Now, jump down to verse 28, since today's 228, and we're talking about 28. "But there is a Father in heaven who reveals secrets and makes known to the king, Nebuchadnezzar, what will be in the latter days. Your dream and the visions in your mind as you lay on your bed are these." Now, these scriptures are talking about the revealing of secrets, which we're about to do right now. The great Kohan David just gave you some of it, and I'm going to show you and prove to you every word he spoke was true. Now let's go to Exodus chapter 20, talking about this number 17 and ordinal perfection. I'm going to give you another example of that. Exodus 20, you should all know where that is. That's where the Ten Commandments are found. Okay? And if you'll notice, verse 1, actually the Ten Commandments are verse 1 through 17, okay? And Yahweh starts speaking in verse 2. He says, "I am Yahweh, your heavenly Father, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage." Interesting that he starts speaking in verse 2, and then he ends in verse 17. "You shall not covet, lust after your brother's house. You shall not covet your brother's wife, his manservant, maidservant, ox, donkey, or anything that belongs to your brother." So there you even have a 217, right? Also, if you turn over to Acts chapter 17, we spoke on this last week because it's the only place where the word Mars is even mentioned. Remember? Hey, and by the way, the word Mars is mentioned in the Peaceful Solution one time too. Page 165, I believe, of the character unit talks about leadership and the little green men from Mars. Y'all read that, right? Well, that's probably a coincidence too, right? But Acts chapter 17, we read from this last week, and it has 34 verses, which is 17 times 2. All right? But write that on your notes. Now, 228. Okay, so... In fact, the great Kohan David, I got to show you this one too. the great Kohen David just showed you in Yochanan when he was talking about that hidden manna. That's Yochanan 6, verse 51. It's found on page 821. Yahshua reveals, I am the living bread out of Yahweh which came down. If any man eats this bread, he will live forever. And that bread that I will give him is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Well, 51 is 17 times 3. And 217 is where he talks about the hidden manna. Okay? Now, oh, by the way, I brought my, since we're having a great dish today, I brought my mat for my food. My golden mat for my for this wonderful gourmet dish that Yahweh's fixing to serve us. Okay, hope you brought yours. Well, next time, I hope you'll bring this. you're going to need it. You're going to see the need for it. All right, so now let's go to my first slide, please. Okay, what I didn't mention to you last week is during the month of March of 2012, Yisrael Hawkins gave a series of sermons. The first one was dated 3/10/12, which was 2 days before the plume on Mars was seen. And the name of the sermon was called The Face of Satan is Mammon, Money, Illegal Lust, and Lustful Gain. The Face of Yahweh is Servitude, Bringing Forth the Man. That was dated 3/10/2012. The second sermon in March that he gave on the face of Satan was on 3/24. And then the third sermon in the month of March was the very last day of March, 3/31/12, again speaking of the face of Satan. Those are the only times he gave that series of sermons during the month of March of 2012, which I thought was interesting, seeing that his face was seen on Mars during that month. Can I have my next slide? Now, last week I told you about the plume on Mars being seen on May 17th, 1997. And I only kind of left it at that. And there was a reason for that, because it really hadn't been revealed to me at that time what the connection was, other than I knew from Pastor's writings that Satan was cast out in the midst of tribulation, which this would have been right after April of 1997 when the peace treaty was shut down. Remember, the peace treaty was signed September 13th, 1993. It went into effect October 13th, 1993. And exactly 3.5 years later, as Daniel spoke, that treaty was shut down. The sacrifice ceased, remember? And that would have been April 13th, 1997. The very following month, on May 17th, is when the plume on Mars was seen the first time. And it was seen on May 17th, which was a Sabbath day, which means we would have been gathered here on that day. But also, it was Omer number 24. That is very significant. Can we, first of all, have my next slide? Because I want to give you the definition of 517 from Strong's. And the first one says mother. And the second one, point of departure or division. Point of departure or division. Remember, midst. The midst. Division. Okay? The midst of tribulation and departure. Okay? Departure. Keep those words in mind. That's 517. Now go to the next slide, please. So, a great deacon in Yahweh's house, as I was walking off the stage last week, said, hey, you know what? He said the 17th was when it was seen, but it was the 24th day of the Omer. And he had looked it up, and he showed me this definition. Dumbfounded, astonished, and it says C1740. So, can we go to the next slide? 1740 means what? Cast out. Cast out. Now that must be a coincidence, right? It means to thrust out to cast away. Remember Revelation 12, 9 through 11. Satan is cast out. Remember, cast down, thrown, you know, to the earth. Now, that's not going to mean much to you right now, but by the end of the sermon, I think it's going to mean a little more to you about that cast out and what that's talking about. But keep those definitions in your mind as we continue along. And at this time, I want to do a little rehearsal or a little review. So I need you to play disc one, please. He gives us greetings in the first six. Can we turn over to Revelation chapter 1, please? He gives us greetings in the first six verses. But notice what he says in verse 7 to start off this whole thing. But notice what he says in verse 7 to start off this whole thing. But notice what he says in verse 7 to start off this whole thing. Behold, he is coming with clouds. Behold, he is coming with clouds. Well, what does that mean? He's going to float down in a cloud like the Christians talk about? No, he's coming with clouds. We just read what Pastor told us, what that meant, that his coming is going to be over a period of time, and his gathering is going to take place through these clouds that he's sending inspiration to make. Okay, so turn over right now, if you would, to Revelation chapter 1, verse 7. Remember, that wave picture is when we started going to the book of Revelation. Pastor, remember the number 96 telling us that, hey, Revelation was written in the year 96 A.D., and we did all that work on the number 96. And in that very first sermon, as you just saw, I showed how in Revelation 1 through 6, he gives greetings and things. And the great Kohan David just read verse 5 for us. But verse 7, I find very interesting that it starts in 7, okay? Because it's chapter 1, verse 7, which is 17 again. Now, if you'll... first of all, also, I want to say one other thing about the temple. Last week, I made the mention that the temple brochure was published in 1997, and someone came to me afterward and said, you know, well, no, it was actually at 1989 or, you know, somewhere in that time when it was first published. But what I was talking about is the information I got was from Pastor, and Pastor went to Israel in 97. And that's when this particular issue of the temple brochure was first printed, the Hebrew version right here. Okay, and Pastor delivered that to Israel at that time. That 517, where was I? I think Revelation 1:7, and the interesting part was 1:7 is 17, but in that sermon, can I have the next slide? In that sermon, I showed you this quote, and this was the very first quote that I showed you about Pastor's words concerning the coming and the gathering. Now, I want you to notice something. It's from the 14th book, chapter 13, given on 5:17:14. Now, isn't that the same date that the plume was seen? 5:17:1997, which was exactly 17 years to the day. Now notice this. It's also quoted from verse 51, which is 17 times 3. Okay? Y'all getting these notes? And he's talking about the coming of our King and our gathering together to him. And what that and about that inspiration that's coming. Can I have my next slide? If that didn't dazzle you enough, in this month's Prophetic Word magazine, on page 35, it's talking about Yahweh's great feast of Passover and unleavened bread. And if you'll notice the clock, the hour hand is on the 10, the second hand is on the 7, and the little or the minute hand is on the 2. 2:17. Hello? Okay, let me move on. Hey, you know, it just can't be a coincidence, right? I mean, it just can't be. And even that little hand, that little thing that's sticking off, that little hand is on the 5, and then there's the 2 on that side and the 10 over there, and that's 17. I mean, you just can't make this stuff up. It is time for you to learn about 2:17. Okay, now, I want to remind you of the definition of 2:17. Can I show the next slide, please? 2:17, remember, meant flame, light, or fire, and it meant revelation, used of the sacred lot of the Hebrews. Okay, but revelation and sacred lot, I want you to keep those in mind. If you'll now go to the next slide, I want to show you the calendar of this month. I thought this was quite interesting. You have Pastor there at the top with his rainbow sash, and he quotes, "So when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, because your redemption draws near." Luke 21:28. What's interesting is these secrets that are being revealed last week and this week was the 21st and the 28th. Okay? Now, I want you to also notice the quote. Let's see if I'm supposed to do it that way first. I might have jumped ahead. No, I'm jumping ahead. Here's what I would like you to do. Remember what the great Kohan David just said about counting 74? He started, this whole thing started with 212, and then he went to 228, where he talked about the morning star. If you'll start, show the calendar again, please. 28, start 28 there. Show the next slide. Okay? Up to 59 through the month of March would be 59. Show the next one, please. Okay? And then you'll find, I'm trying to keep up with all my slides. You'll find the 5th Roman month. Just a second here. Okay, I jumped ahead. Okay, 15. You'll find the 4th Roman month, April 15th. That's the tax deadline. Just kidding. Okay. April 15th. Well, you know, what's that all about? Okay, well, here's what's interesting about April 15th. Can you go to my next slide? If you look at this month's calendar at the very bottom, there's a quote. And it says, "How do you overcome?" Now, isn't this interesting that he'd be talking about overcoming in this particular month's calendar? How do you overcome? You do what the priests at the house of Yahweh, where Yahweh says, "I will choose to place my name in the last days." You do what they teach you to do, humbly, without going to the right or to the left. That's what you're told to do, and that's what brings you to this overcoming. That's a quote from 4:15:14. Exactly 1 year before the upcoming 4:15 that's coming up. Now, what's interesting about that, let's go to the next slide so I can show you the actual quote. This is the actual page, chapter 10, and the title is, "The Roman Catholic Church is coming to an end in this generation. All rule will soon be given to the sons of Yahweh." Now, this is from 4:15:14, okay? And I'm going to read you the whole quote, verse 37. "So practice these judgments and prove to Yahweh how angry you can become, how long you can hold your anger, how long you can hold your bitterness and your hatred, how hateful you can be with your mouth and your mind and your brain." No, you have to come here and overcome that. Yahshua said to him who overcomes, not to him that yields to it. How do you overcome? You do what the priests at the house of Yahweh, where Yahweh says, "I will choose to place my name in the last days." You do what they teach you to do, humbly, without going to the right or to the left. That's what you're told to do, and that's what brings you to this overcoming. I would say 90% of the people here in this congregation are there. They're to that point, at least that, maybe more. Praise Yahweh. And this is from 4:15-14. Okay, now I'm going to try to remember where to go from here. Just give me a second. Okay, help me, Yahweh. I need some inspiration. Okay, let's go to the next slide. Okay, I showed you that slide. Okay, and I showed you that the quote was at the bottom. All right. Trying to remember. Oh, okay. Now, here's what we're going to do. We're going to do another count. That's what I'm supposed to tell you. We're going to do another count now. It's interesting. By the way, I want you to remember that was that number of that verse. The number of the verse. Can you back up one slide? The verse that was taken one from was verse 37. Please write that down. Verse 37 from 4:15-14. Please write that down. Go to the next slide, please. I want to do another count now, a different way, okay? Now, all this ties in because Yahweh's going to give you two witnesses that the great Kohen David was right about what he just showed you about Revelation 5:12 and about the morning star, okay? Now, let's start at the 28th. Remember, your count would begin at sundown the 27th, right? So 28, go to the next month of March, go to the next slide. Okay, and you'll see in March, the 31st would be 33. Go to the next slide. Okay, and then you would go all the way through the month of April. The 30th would be the 63rd day of our count. Now go to the next slide. The 74 would be 5:12. 5:12. Isn't that what the great Kohen told you? Revelation 5:12. Okay? But I want you to notice something else. It's the 37th day of the Omar. 37. Okay, you just saw that number, right? That's the quote that Pastor quoted from in the 4:15-14 sermon, that of overcoming. Keep these in mind now. Keep Morning Star in mind, okay? And let's go now and turn over to Yeremia chapter 51. Yeremia 51. And I'll give you a page number in just a moment. And I hope I'm not going too slow. I mean, too fast. And I hope I'm not going too slow, but I hope I'm not going too fast. But it's on page 618. We're going to read Yeremia 51. And we're going to start, I believe, at verse 19. Is everybody there? I need you to be looking at this. It says, the portion of Jacob is not like them. Actually, if we set it up, let's go ahead and back up a little bit. Let's go ahead and read 17 first. Every man is deficient of knowledge. Every metalsmith is ashamed of his gods. His images are a fraud, for there is no breath in them. They are vanity, powerless gods, a work of errors. In the time of their visitation, they will perish. In other words, these gods will be abolished. The portion of Jacob is not like them, for he is the maker of all things. Yahweh of hosts is his name, and Yisrael is the rod of his inheritance. Now, verse 20. You are my battle axe, my weapon of war. With you I will break nations in pieces. With you I will destroy kingdoms. With you I will break the horse and rider in pieces. With you I will break the chariot and its rider in pieces. With you, Yisrael, I will break man and woman in pieces. With you I will break old and young in pieces. With you I will break youth and maiden in pieces. With you I will break the shepherd and his flock in pieces. With you I will break the farmer and his yoke of oxen in pieces. And with you I break governors and rulers in pieces. Speaking of Israel, this is not speaking of Babylon. He speaks of Babylon in the next verse. But you, Babylon, I will repay. The scholars all wonder about this verse here. They all wonder, is this talking about Babylon or the nation of Israel? No, it's not talking about either. It's talking about Yisroel Hawkins, okay? Yisroel Hawkins is his battle axe. Don't let that worry you. It's not a warmonger thing here. I'm going to show you what this is all about. Can I go to the next slide? That word battle axe, it's word number 4661 in Strong's, and it means a smiter, a war club. War club, club, battle axe. And it's from 5310. Now, I want to remind you of something before I show you the next thing. Turn over to 2 Corinthians 10:4. 2 Corinthians 10. Verse 4, and I'll give you a page number. It's page 906. And let's start at verse 3. For though we walk or live in the flesh, we do not wage war according to the flesh, like the worldly warmongers. For the weapons of our warfare in the house of Yahweh are not carnal. It's not axes and clubs and sticks and bullets and grenades and things like this. It says, but mighty in Yahweh for pulling down strongholds, demolishing arguments, and destroying every high thing that exalts itself against the one who is Yahweh, bringing under control every thought into the obedience as the Messiah. Okay, now notice, so when he's talking about this battle axe and this war club and this breaking in pieces, he's not talking about hurting anybody. As a matter of fact, he's talking about serving and helping everybody. Okay? He's going to destroy, not with physical means like the people in the world are using this power that they have. No, it's by teaching an example and leading and guiding and loving and strengthening through the knowledge of Yahweh. That's what this is talking about here. So now, go to the next slide. And that's 5310. Remember, because 5310 is the other one we need to look up. And the first definition means to shatter, break, dash, beat in pieces, and to dash to pieces. Okay? Now, go back to Yeremia chapter 51. Go back to Yeremia 51. Because I want you to notice something. Yeremia 51:20. Let's read it again. You are my battle axe. He's talking about Israel. My weapon of war. With you I will break nations in pieces. With you I will destroy kingdoms. Did you notice that 51:20 is 5:1:2? Did you notice that? 51:20, he says, you are my battle axe. What could this mean? And how does this connect with the morning star? Well, let's find out. Go to the next slide, please. This is pulpit commentary on Yeremia 51. And if you'll notice, the very first line, I don't know if you can see that very well. It's kind of hard to see up here on this one, but it says, my battle axe or my mace. My mace. That's what that battle axe is. It means mace. Now, look at the second commentary or quote here. It says, because a similar title was given to Babylon in Yeremia 50:23, that's where he calls Babylon the hammer of the whole earth, okay? Others to Israel on the ground that the tenses are the same throughout the passage. The latter view is probably the best. How could Babylon be said to shatter her own governors and viceroys? Okay, in other words, why would Babylon crush its own self? That's not what it's talking about, because it's talking about Israel. We just read that Israel is the rod of his inheritance and his battle axe. It says, now, And it says, I'm going to jump down to the bottom. It says, the objection of Graff and Keel is that Israel could not himself be styled a mace, it being Israel's destiny to be delivered by others. But is not a very similar statement made of Israel in Isaiah 41:15? Well, let's look at Isaiah 41:15 and see what it says regarding this mace or battle axe. Isaiah 41:15, it's found on page 555. And it says, behold, this is speaking of, let's start in verse 14. Fear not, you worm Jacob, you men of Israel. I will help you, says Yahweh, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. Behold, I will make you into a new threshing sledge with sharp teeth. You will thresh the mountains and beat them small and make the hills like chaff. You will winnow them and the wind will carry them away. And the whirlwind will scatter them. You remember what Daniel said in Daniel 2:44 about that stone that breaks this into pieces and it scatters it like the summer, the chaff from the summer threshing floor? Y'all remember that, right? I think it's Daniel 2:44. This is speaking of Israel. This is not speaking of Babylon. Okay? Now also, let's go to Psalm 149 because it tells us also to refer to that. Psalm 149. Psalm 149, and it's found on page 494, and we're going to look at verses 7 through 9. Let's start in verse 4. Because Yahweh takes pleasure in his people, he will beautify the meek, the humble, with salvation. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud on their beds. Let the high praises of Yahweh be in their mouths and a two-edged sword in their hands to execute vengeance or judgment upon the nations and punishments upon the peoples, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters, to execute upon them the judgment written, this is the honor that all the saints of Yahweh have. Okay? Now, this is what you just read in Yeremia. Okay, now this executing judgment and this binding the kings and this these other things, get out of your mind that this has anything to do with some kind of physical harm to anybody. This is about teaching an example and teaching the peaceful solution, okay, as we're going to learn more of as we go through this. Okay, now that's the commentary. Now, I want to go back again to the third sermon that was given on the wave. And I want to, at this time, play disc 2, please. Y'all remember the Russian flag? With the sickle and the hammer. Write that down, sickle and hammer. Because the earth has a sickle and a hammer, but Yahweh does too. Okay? But Yahweh's is a peaceful one. But Yahweh's is a peaceful one. But Yahweh's is a peaceful one. Now watch this. This is the Bulova missile that they've been testing. And it means mace. Not the kind the cops spray on you, but a mace, a hammer. Okay, you're going to see what a mace looks like. Let me show you these maces. That sounds a lot like Mason, doesn't it? Okay, now look what they like to use. These are some maces right here. These are weapons of war. Look at this thing. Would you like to get hit in the head with one of these? These are the things they use. These are maces. Look at them. These are instruments of destruction. This is what you want if you leave the house of Yahweh, because this is what's coming, and a lot worse. These are what maces are. The word mace, if you go, it means a club. It's also called, remember that Satan has a clever disguise for everything, the morning star weapon. The morning star weapon. The morning star weapon. Remember Yahshua, the bright and morning star? I guarantee he's not using this, okay? It says maces, listen to this. Maces are rarely used today for actual combat, but a large number of government bodies, the British House of Commons, the U.S. Congress, universities, and other institutions have ceremonial maces.
and continue to display these symbols as symbols of authority. Symbols of authority. Symbols of authority. Okay? Such as this one right here in the U.S. House of Representatives. Hanging here.
All right. Now, let's go to the next slide, please. Now, this mace that's hanging in the U.S. House of Representatives, if you look at it, it's actually a scepter, okay? It's got the long, mace and scepter are both interchangeable words. I'm going to show you right here. If you look in the definition of scepter, in the number one thing I have underlined there, it says, a staff or baton borne by a sovereign as a ceremonial badge. Now, didn't the great Kohan David just mention that badge of honor? Isn't there a sign outside here that says the peaceful solution is your badge of honor? Doesn't it say that? It says, a staff or baton borne by a sovereign as a ceremonial badge or emblem of authority. A royal mace. A royal mace. Now I want to... Let's go to Genesis 49. Genesis 49, talking about a scepter. Genesis 49 on page 43, and we're going to look at verse 10. You know, this scepter, was anybody tuned in this morning to the House of Yahweh radio, listening to the sermons this morning at about 5:30, 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock? Were y'all up early listening? Because all those sermons were about the scepter. It was all about the scepter. I didn't plan that out. But I'm going to tell you, in verse 10, it says, the scepter will not depart from Yada. Yeah, the Roman Catholic Church has that scepter right now. And how do they use the scepter? They use it to beat, murder, destroy, break to pieces the kingdoms. Well, how do they do that? By war and destruction, not by teaching an example. Although their teaching an example is Satan's example. This is not Yahweh's way. It says, the scepter will not depart from Yada, nor a ruling staff, lawgiver, from between his feet until he comes. Until he comes. To whom tribute belongs and the obedience of the nations is his. I got to get all these things here before we move on. I'm telling you, you're not going anywhere anyway, right? There's an ice storm outside. Nobody has anywhere to go. I'm going to have to go over, okay? But you're going to be very thankful that I did. I promise you. I promise you. I promise you. You haven't even seen anything yet. Keep that scepter in mind. Yada is sitting on the seven hills right now. And, you know, the Catholic Church, they use that scepter with force, as Pastor has taught us. And remember, Daniel 7 said that that fourth beast is dreadful and terrible, with great iron teeth. It devours and destroys and crushes, not through righteousness, but through unrighteousness. Yahshua inherited the scepter of righteousness. Okay? As a matter of fact, why don't we turn over to Hebrews chapter, I believe it's chapter 2. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 2. No, Hebrews chapter 1. Let's read verse 7 first. It's kind of interesting. It says, now it's found on page 943. The verse 7 says, now of the Malachim, he says, who makes his Malachim spirits and his ministers a flame of fire. Remember 2:17? Flame, fire. And that's Hebrews 1:7, 17, right? But let's look at verse 8. But to the Son, he says, the throne of your Father is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom. The scepter of evil and destruction and wickedness is the scepter on the city of Seven Hills right now that they're ruling with. Their authority is being used to bring destruction to mankind. He says in verse 9, you have loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore, Yahweh your Father has anointed you with the oil of gladness more than your companions. Yahshua has inherited that scepter of righteousness because he did not commit sin. He loved righteousness. He loved the laws of Yahweh. He loved Yahweh to the death, to the point of death, to giving his own life for us. This last days, all the house of Yahweh throughout history. Now, let's go to, where am I going here? I want to get all these little notes I put here in. There's a reason why. And by the way, this morning when Pastor was talking about the scepter, I heard him say something very interesting. Remember Morning Star, remember Scepter, everything we're seeing here. Remember Revelation 5:12, remember Jeremiah 51:2, okay? Remember all these things. Pastor said an interesting thing. He said, you know, they're using it by force, but he said, what goes around comes around. What goes around comes around. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 14. Isaiah 14. It's on page 338 or 538. And we're going to start at verse 4. Let's start at verse 3. It will come to pass in the day that Yahweh will give you rest from your sorrow and from your terror and from the hard bondage in which you were made to serve, that you will take up this proverb, this taunting speech against the king of Babylon and say, how the oppressor has ceased. The golden city ceased. Yahweh has broken the staff of the wicked and the scepter of the rulers. He who struck the people. Now get this. I want you to remember last week, ISIS standing on the shore of Libya, threatening Rome, taunting Rome. And he says, he who struck the people in wrath with a continual stroke, he who ruled the nations in anger, is now himself persecuted. Is now himself persecuted, and no one hinders. Okay? Keep these things in your mind as we move along. The persecutor is going to become the persecuted. What goes around comes around. Now, we don't relish in that, right? Nobody wants to see anybody get hurt, right? But remember, we're not going, our weapons of our warfare are not carnal. But somebody's going to destroy Rome. Rome's going to burn. Just as surely as Revelation 17 shows you that. 17, the sentence of the whore. Okay? 17, remember that. Revelation 17. By the way, Pastor said what goes around comes around. I want to show you the definition of 512 in Strong's. I have it here. I don't have it on my slides, but I'm going to show you here because when I heard it this morning, I said I got to show what this means because I saw the definition. I looked it up before, but it didn't make any sense until I heard what Pastor said this morning. It means God the ensnarer. He said, you'll fall into your own trap that you've laid. God has going to ensnare them in their own trap. Remember, this ruling with force, what goes around comes around. You reap what you sow. Don't be deceived, like the prophet said. Whatsoever a man sows, this is what he's going to reap. And if you reap to the flesh, you sow to the flesh. Or you sow to the flesh, you reap to the flesh. Sorry, I'm not a farmer either. I just play one on TV. Okay, so let's go now. All right, so go to the next slide, please. Okay? So we read Jeremiah 51:20, and remember Revelation 51:12. You have the 5:12. And remember the count from the 28th. If you count 74, you get 5:12. And remember Morning Star. Remember these things. Can I have the next slide, please? On Roman Tuesday morning, remember the 37th Omar is 5:12, right? Roman Tuesday morning, when Yahweh revealed this to me, I looked at my iPhone, and it was 37 degrees in Laredo. Now, remember, Yahweh confirms these things with signs and wonders, man, constantly. Y'all should notice numbers, you know what I mean? You should notice these things. But I'm going to show you something else that's equally as fascinating. Last night, this is last night, Friday, in Laredo, was 37 degrees again when the sun went down at Sabbath. Remember, Laredo's a hot place normally. It's not cold like this. Now, if that's not enough for you, this morning, it's 37 again. Only it's raining now. Yes, it is raining. I got to show you this too, because this is probably a coincidence too, right? The New Prophetic Word magazine, this lovely magazine right here, this month's issue of the Prophetic Word magazine. That's why I don't use this thing anymore, because I don't know how to use it most of the time. I want you to notice that's the February 2015, and it is 37 pages long. There's the end. 37. It gets better. Can I have my next slide, please? Actually, no. Take the slide down for a moment because I want to set them up for this. So the great Kohan David, pastor called me earlier this week and told me the great Kohan David would be speaking. And so me and him, we spoke and I heard what he had to say. And, you know, of course, sometimes when Yahweh reveals things, we need that like extra, inspiration or that confirmation. So we can be in agreement about, because we already agreed. I already knew that what he was telling me was true, but I didn't set out to prove him wrong. I knew that Yahweh was working with the great Kohan. I knew that he was inspiring him. And so I said, well, there's something missing. Turn over to Revelation chapter 3 right now, everybody. Turn over to Revelation 3. Remember talking about Yahshua talking about overcoming. Revelation 3, we need to look at verse 26. I'm sorry, 226, not 326. 326, or 226, on page 973. Because on every date so far that's been significant, that's where Yahshua says, he who overcomes. But 226 was missing. 226 was on Thursday, Roman Thursday. Let's read it. It says, and he who overcomes and keeps my works to the end, to him I'll give power over the nations. And he will rule them with a rod of iron, as the potter's vessels will be broken to pieces. We just read about that, right? And I will, as I also have received from my Father. Okay? Now, so I had it in my mind, and Pastor's my witness, and the great Kohan David is my witness. I told Pastor, I said, Pastor, I believe something's going to take place on 3:26. Because so far, every other verse in chapter 2 has been fulfilled in that Yahweh showed us something on each one where Yahshua says, he who overcomes. But 2:26 was missing. So, let's go to my next slide. On, I believe it was Tuesday, Roman Tuesday, I got a call from the great Kohan Kiefer Reynolds, Hawkins. And he said, do you have that gold mat, the gold sign mat in your house? And I said, yes, I do. And he said, it's hanging on my refrigerator. I see it at least 20 times a day. You know, because I go there and, well, I'm not telling on myself how much I eat. But I go there quite frequently, so yes, I see it a lot. So he says, did you notice the date on the Abilene Reporter News article? Can I have the next slide? 2/17/1985. What would the odds of that be? 2/17/1985. And it's got Pastor standing there, and he's got Isaiah 43:11 written there, which, you know, sums up what the two witnesses' job is to do, is to tell the nations that Yahweh's not a god. Yahweh's our heavenly Father. And it shows him standing with the snow and at the old sanctuary there. And next to it, you know, it has the gold sign that the great Kohana Tanya Hawkins and the great Kohana Rhea Shekinah Hawkins saw on the evening of February 3rd, which was going into February 4th, which would have been February 4th, the 30th anniversary of the establishment of the House of Yahweh. But February 17th, 1985 is the 30th anniversary of the plume on Mars, because that was just seen last week, right? So it would have been 30 years too. Whoa, what a coincidence. So now this was before the 26th. The evening of the 25th, which after sundown would have been the 26th, I called the great Kohan David and I said, we talked a little bit about how things were progressing, and I told him, Kohan David, today's the 26th. I said, we really need to keep our eyes peeled, okay? And reminded Pastor as well. Pastor was already, I'm sure Pastor already knows all things. I feel funny when I call him, and I feel like I'm just telling him what he already knows. It's like, you know, but he's probably thinking, what took him so long, you know? I mean, but so anyway, this 30 was in my mind, and I thought, you know, I told Con David we need to keep our eyes open today, and I told him why I thought so from Revelation 2, 26. But the number 30, you know, when the great Kohan Kepha showed this to me, you know, I thought 30, you know, what does that mean? And I looked and I searched to see if there was anything in Bollinger's about the number 30, and there really was nothing. The only thing I could find on the number 30 was 30 pieces of silver, remember, that Yahshua was bought for, that was given back at that time. But anyway, so, and I talked to Pastor about it the night of the 25th, which was the 26th, and I told him my thoughts on the number 30. But I told him also, I said, you know, Yahweh's showing us everything, that all the inspiration is coming from what's already here in the house of Yahweh. There's nothing that we have to go outside to find. It's all here and everything. So when I got off the phone with him, and that was just a few minutes after I spoke to great Kohan David, the evening of the 25th, this placemat was sitting in front of me on my footstool. And I looked at it and I thought, it's 30, you know, 30. What does this mean? And then it dawned on me, well, why don't I just do what the great Kohan David did and count 30 verses, right, from Revelation 2:17? Why reinvent the wheel, right? Well, let's do it together, okay? Can I have the next slide, please? Actually, no. Before we do that, yeah. Before we do our count, I'm going to give you the definition of 2:26. Because here's the other reason. I already knew the definition, and the definition means a sign, a miraculous sign. Evidence, miracle, sign. And it's from 2:25. Can you show the next slide? 2:25 means to come to consent or assent, or to come to agreement. Because remember, we had to come to agreement on what this meant. So I went to Revelation chapter 2, verse 17, and I started there, and I counted 30 verses. Can we have the next slide? Oh, by the way, take that down for a second. I'm ahead of myself. Let's count these verses. Show the next slide. I think that has the count. go ahead and pass that slide. Yeah, there it is right there. Revelation 2, if you start at verse 18, right? 17 is the starting point. You just go 18, 19, 20, so forth. You end up at Revelation 3, 18. And let's read it together. I counsel you to buy gold, tried in the fire from me. Now, what would be odds of that be that the word gold is used there? And the word gold is used here? Back up one slide, please. Remember, 226 meant sign. A golden sign, right? Are you getting it? So, 318, I counsel you to buy gold tried in the fire from me that you might be rich, and white raiment that you might be clothed so that the shame of your nakedness does not appear, and anoint your eyes with eye salve that you might see. And I don't have time to get into this today, but this is speaking of Israel Hawkins and joining yourself to the witness in that golden oil that we need. Okay? That's what it's talking about. Okay? Now, here's the interesting part. Would you like some real confirmation? You flip the mat over. Can you show the next slide? The golden sowing. Remember the word sow up in the sky? Seen on what date? 318. 318. 318, the same verse you just read from. Right? Are you believing this? I'm telling you, it's just, how can you do that? You just can't do it. It would have to have gone back years and years in the house of Yahweh to figure all this clever stuff out. And yeah, I don't know about you, but I'm pretty... I'm an Okie, man. There ain't no way I could do this. But there was the confirmation right there on the back of it. Okay? Because when I counted 30 and I got to 318 and I read the gold, I said, okay, that is pretty convincing. But then when I flipped the mat over and I saw 318, I was like, that's really convincing. That is just, you know, he's so amazing. So now, go to the next slide, please. I'm almost done. So the golden sign, the sign I was looking for on 226 that was promised in the numbers, remember? A sign, a miraculous sign. Yahweh came through as he always does. Does Yahweh ever fail us in anything? Can you think of a time that Israel Hawkins ever told you something that didn't come to pass? Exactly like he said? No, you can't. And if you still think so, just get with your counselors, read the literature. The answers are there, and Yahweh will bless you with that understanding. Can you go to the next slide, please? So now, let's look at this picture again. By the way, I counsel you to buy gold. You need to go down to the South office tomorrow and get... These need to be sold out, man. I mean, if Yahweh isn't showing you how important these are to look upon... To remember, you know, I mean, everything that the house puts out is for a reason. There's a purpose to it. So 1985 to 2013, when this gold sign was seen, it was 28 years. 28. You know, there's Pastor. I look at that picture. I was just really just looking at him. And I was looking at that picture and I was just looking how beautiful he looks. He's standing up for Yahweh, man. This 1985, when this picture was taken, this was the beginning of the public condemnation of the one uttering the name Yahweh. Now, I want you to notice what it says in the corner. It says, there's a reason Yahweh chose to use this photograph. Taken by the Abilene Reporter News in their initial attack against the one sent in these last days. To put into the clouds over his house along with the word 2013 gold, 28 years later. That man is pure gold, okay? Stood up for Yahweh through everything that Yahweh put, that he was allowed to go through, that fire. He stood up for Yahweh and he never backed down. Remember what Yahshua said? He said, you have kept my word. You have kept my word. Because you have kept my word. Turn over to Revelation 3:7. Turn over to Revelation 3:7, because we've seen that number 37 a lot, haven't we? Turn over to Revelation 3:7, because now I'm going to prove to you who he's really speaking to. It says, and to the Moloch of the congregation of the house of Yahweh in Philadelphia, or at Abel, write, these things says he who is holy, he who is true, he who has the key of David, he who opens and no man shuts, and shuts and no man opens. That's speaking to Pastor. And he says, I know your works. Behold, I have set before you an open door, and no man can shut it. For you have a little strength, and have kept my word, and have not denied my name. Look at Pastor standing there again. Look at him. He stood for Yahweh, the only man on earth that stood for Yahweh this whole time. Never backed down once. Never backed down one time. Even went to prison. And an orange jumpsuit was put on a man that never hurt anybody. Never did anything to deserve that. But he did it with a smile on his face, and he wore it like a badge, he said. It was a badge of honor to him to go through these things. 30 years. It's just, it's really, to me, it's incredible. It's incredible that, by the way, the house of Yahweh was established on 2483, and if you add those numbers up, it's 17. I mean, you can't make it up. I mean, if anybody needs help understanding, like I said, please, you know, come and we'll do everything that we can to help you. You know, I mean, Yahweh doesn't want it to lose anybody. Now, I want to end this on a really, really, what I think is a really cool note. Let's go to the next slide. This is from RT News, and it's called The Godzilla of Earth's New Planet Weighing 17 Times Greater Than Earth Discovered. Now, this isn't a new story. Where did you hear this? Didn't Pastor tell us about this planet? Well, of course he did. I'm going to show you. If you notice the publishing time of this story, it was June 3rd, 2014 at 7:48 p.m., which would have been June 4th because it was after sundown. And it was edited on June 4th, 2014, June of 2014, the 3rd and the 4th. 17 times greater. This is from RT News, okay? Can you go to the next slide? This is chapter 15 of the, can't remember which book this is. I believe the new 14th book. Yeah, the 14th book, the new book, the purple book. If you'll notice the date, 6/4/14, Feast of Pentecost. Pastor says in verse 66, it will take a long time because the earth's going to be destroyed. Of course, you know this. Yahweh thought about that, and he thought about the places that we would need, that he told us to actually look for, by the way. This one is another one. This one wasn't the one that I showed you here recently. This one is larger than the first one that I showed you the other time. That was 9 times bigger than the earth. This one is the major, the mega planet. Another earth, mega earth, 17 times heavier than our planet discovered. Why is Yahweh building these? Why is he building these earths all of a sudden? Was he supposed to wait until you needed it? Now he starts laughing. He says, you see how Yahweh thinks and plans? And science says there's no way this planet can exist. You know, it's too big. It'll never work, they said. Is the earth square? Is it flat? Is it really round? Pastor says. Verse 67, well, it doesn't exist, and they know it now. 17 times heavier than the planet Earth. Scientists have just discovered it. They call it Godzilla. I call it Yahzilla. Okay? He calls it the Yahzilla of Earths, a new type of huge and rocky alien world about 560 light years from Earth. 560 light years from Earth. That's a long ways away. A light year is how fast light travels in a year. Light travels 186,000 miles per second. Okay? And you times that by 560 years, okay, and you'll get an idea. I mean, these numbers are just way too big to grasp. What would be the odds of that particular article talking about a world 17 times bigger, and we're talking about the number 17, right? And that, again, once again, 1 year ago, just like the April 15th, right, where we saw the count. And then at Pentecost 1 year ago, he's talking about this earth 17 times greater. You think Yahweh's making that for us? I can't hear you. Now, I want to encourage you. I'm getting ready to close, but I want to encourage you. You know, if you didn't get enough encouragement, I told you there was going to be a lot of some great stuff today. I hope I delivered. I hope Yahweh delivered you the meal that you were expecting. But now I want to get you ready for something. Can we go to the next slide, please? Next Sabbath is 3-7. It's 3-7. Could that mean that we're going to hear from the seventh Moloch? 37, okay? I don't know that I could give you, well, you'll get more, but just know the morning star, the authority, the scepter. I want you to remember 5-12. I'm not giving you dates. I want you to remember 5-12. I want you to remember the oppressor. The oppressor is now the oppressed. I want you to remember the authority is going to change hands. I want you to remember these things. Keep these things in your mind. I'm not saying anything. I'm just telling you. Okay? Keep it in your mind. Do not forget what Yahweh's shown you this day. Do not leave the house of Yahweh. Where are you going to go? You going to go to the Pope? Is he going to reveal secrets to you? No, he's hiding everything. The only reason we know about him is Pastor can tell us everything because he reveals secrets. The seventh Moloch, Revelation 10:7. At this time, if everybody would please stand, may Yahweh bless your understanding. And I'd like to turn it over to the great Kohan for closing prayer.